preaching through the book of Revelation, I've read some commentators who say that there was a key to this book that was lost. During the Middle Ages sometime, and therefore nobody can understand the mystery. I know that the Catholic stream of the church for years has tried to keep its people from reading the book. They didn't want them confused, was the reason. I wish some preachers had listened to the Catholic Church. Because it isn't the reading that's confused people. It's some who read it and mess it up. I spent some time this week paying attention to various ones who try to organize this book. I've seen it organized in sevens. I've seen it organized in twos. I've seen it organized in four parts on the grounds that John, the seer, was taken to four different places in the book. It isn't often that God organizes something so clearly for you. You don't have to work that hard. God does the organizing, the 19th verse, first chapter. Jesus had appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos. It was a spellbinding appearance. And John says, when I saw him, 17th verse, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. Now, I've been a few weeks describing some fearsome characters, demons out of the abyss, that old dragon, Satan. I want you to know that God's got some scary ones on his side. Some of you will remember as we preached on the book of Ezekiel here on Sunday nights as part of the Hebrew series, the four living ones that flew around the throne of God as Ezekiel saw the vision by the river Chebar, you're going to encounter those same four living ones. They're translated beasts here in the Book of Revelation, King James Version, which is a bad translation. Zoa is the word in the Greek. It's from which we get zoology. It simply means life or living ones. The plural of the word, living ones, zoon, is one of the, they say, a beast flew to me. It's the singular. And it's one place that beasts should not be used to translate. There are beasts, and there is a beast, Antichrist. But there are some fearsome living ones that fly around the throne of God also. And the Jesus that John saw was no slouch as a stunner either. He said in the 8th verse, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. John then said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I'm Alpha, Greek letter A, and Omega, last letter of the Greek alphabet, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. And he names them. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks in the midst of the seven candlesticks, later to be interpreted as the seven churches, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girt about with paps, or about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. Now here's the division of the book. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. That phrase, shall be hereafter, is after these things, namely the things which are. Write the things which thou hast seen. He'd just seen Jesus. Write the things which are. That's going to be the revelation of the seven churches, what is existing in that day, and the goings on of the churches. And after the goings on of the churches is described, after these things, the churches, write the things which shall be after these things. He then begins interpreting. John does exactly what he says. He writes the things which he had seen already up to that point. He writes the things which are, which is the mystery of the seven churches and the seven candlesticks. That takes him through the third chapter. And he ends up with the 21st and 22nd verse of the third chapter. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Now that's a key verse. It also follows, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Turn me down just a hair, Mike. Not much, but a little. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. The repetition of throne is important. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And the 19th verse said, Write the things which thou hast seen, he had just seen Jesus. The things which are, that's the mystery of the seven churches and the seven stars and the candlestick. And the things which shall be after these things. He that hath an ear, he's now going to finish the things which are. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. There are three simple divisions of this book. the things which John had seen through that 19th verse, the things which are, the mystery of the churches, and the goings on in the churches, that ends with the 22nd verse of the 3rd chapter. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Period. End of that subject. A bridge will occur in the 4th chapter. And suddenly, the things that will occur after these things about the churches on earth are going to unfold. From the 4th chapter to the end of the book of Revelations, you have events after the things having to do with the churches on this earth. You won't encounter, look, the whole New Testament, after the Gospels close and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, every epistle thereafter, including the one to the Hebrews, is to the church, to the saints that have come to know the good news of the gospel and the righteousness of faith, and have become the wild olive branch of faith grafted onto the promises of Abraham. Yet in this last book, after the 2nd and 3rd chapter being absorbed with the churches, who are not only 7 actual churches, but 7 churches in type of all churches, not another word to the church beginning in chapter 4 on earth, until they come in Revelation 19 from heaven with the Lord. From chapter 4, verse 1 onward, the 3rd division of the book of Revelations, and when you turn this key, you'll save yourself a lot of confusion. From Revelation 4, 1 onward, John is writing the things which shall be after the things of the church on earth. That's why he's saying, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The message to the church on earth ends at verse 22. After this, after these things, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. Whose voice is like the trumpet? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, Jesus speaking. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. Where's the door open? Huh? You know, I've been painting broad strokes, and I'm still going to paint them for a couple more Sundays. But I'm starting to lay the foundation now to pull this book in pieces. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open. You don't have your Bible open to Revelation 4. A door was open. Where? In heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, read it, come up hither. Come where? Come down? Come up hither. Where's hither? Huh? Some people make the Bible so complicated. I saw a door where? come up where? Hither. And I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Again, you're back to the Greek. After these things. The things that are to do with the church on earth. And immediately, I was in the Spirit, John says, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. What do you say in the 21st verse to the church of the 3rd chapter? To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in where? My throne. Now, some people see heaven as floating around on a cloud and playing a harp. Round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, the symbol of Christ's righteousness always. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were the 4, and again, it should not be beasts. Living ones should be written there. Zoa. Full of eyes before and behind. The first beast again is a mistranslation. Zoan, singular, was like a lion. The second, like a calf. An ox it was to the eyes of Ezekiel. The third living one had a face as of a man. The fourth living one was like a flying eagle. And the 4 living ones had each of them 6 wings about it. They were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night. You remember Ezekiel saw them like lightning covering the whole earth and the whole universe, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. That's an interesting phrase. John's up in heaven before the throne. He sees Jesus. And the description of the Lord God Almighty is that He was and is, but He's still to come. The elders are there before the throne. He is, He was and is yet to come. The second coming, in fact, hasn't yet occurred. He didn't come down. He brought up. He said, come up hither. As we've said many times, the day of the Lord is many events. The day of the Lord is every victory that God accomplishes over Satan. The day of the Lord included the first coming. The day of the Lord will include the second coming. The Jews missed the first coming because they looked for Messiah only in one package. The second coming is many events. Some look at the signs of the times and think, aha, I see a sign in God's book, hasn't happened yet. I take Jesus' words, the time is not yet, and live like the devil because he isn't here yet. I'm going to get a squeak in change before the last trump. The signs are to the end, and the second coming encompasses many events. Before his feet touch the Mount of Olives and it claves in half, as Zechariah 14 describes it, and a way of escape is provided for the remnant of God's people out of Jerusalem. The rapture takes place before that end. Not only is the second coming many events, the rapture is more than one event. But there's only one rapture for the church. I'm going to be on this for a few weeks. And when these living ones give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. I wrestled last night on television in a wrestling that I go through periodically, whether to join the band get on the bandwagon and preach a gospel of humanism and a gospel of the servitude of God to the needs of man. This church is a part of the full gospel revival. And the full gospel revival made a giant contribution to theological change in the first decade of this century. Liberalism conquered the church world, and liberalism said man would solve his own problems. Sin was ignorance and salvation was education. And man, by obtaining education, would solve all of man's problems, usher in the utopia. The full gospel people rightly discerned man cannot solve man's problems. God is the answer. And the essence of the full gospel message, the Church of the Four Square Gospel, pretty much nails down the pivots. Jesus, my Savior. Jesus, my healer. Jesus, my baptizer. Jesus, my coming King. I've said this before, bears repeating. That was a half truth, a halfway answer. But it stopped short of the whole truth. I never like to put an adjective on the gospel, because if it is the gospel, it is the gospel. But the full gospel, and I'm president of a denomination called the Full Gospel Fellowship. The full gospel falls short of the full gospel if it stops with those four truths. The emphasis is on my. Jesus is my Savior, my healer, my baptizer, my King. You're no less a son of a father and no less a member of the family when you're 17 than when you're 17 days or 17 months. You're no less a member of the family when you are 17 days, to say it in reverse, 17 months or 17 years. No less a member of the family when you're 25 or 30. Likewise, God's family. But you sure can be an irritant to the family if you are 17 or 25, still acting like you're 17 months. I state a ludicrous, obvious truth in natural life. Equally obvious in spiritual life, but certainly not as overpowering. John, in his epistle, said, speaking for God, I speak to you as children, I speak to you as young men, I speak to you as fathers. Paul, writing to the Hebrews, said, when you ought to be teachers, you have need of being taught again, and when you ought to be able to eat strong meat, you still got a gurgle of milk. Growth ought to occur. You can put up with a baby who has the family revolve around him and the father and mother revolve around him. And to the baby, the family exists for his salvation, for his health, for his well-being. And probably in his small mind, his coming kingdom. But somewhere you grow up. The full gospel stayed baby too long. The Colossian letter was left out, where God's word says we are created not only by God, in God, from God, through God, we are created to God. God is still the boss, still the creator, and he created man to find his fulfillment and his pleasure in God. But all we like sheep, dumb sheep, have gone astray. Again, that verse was to God's people in the Old Testament. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. Full gospel people delivered a lot of people from the self-centeredness of sin into the self-centeredness of babyhood perpetual Christianity. Still self-centered. A proper beginning, because we are born again, new creatures in Christ Jesus. But we ought to grow up. The Ephesian letter says that we be no more children tossed about with every wind of doctrine. I know the truth. The weight of this burden just tempts me. And I wrestled it out last night again. Do I join the band, the majority of voices that are preaching in today's world? I ought to remember what Claire Grace said when she prophesied over me, saying in this last day, every denomination would be touched with revival. And into that revival would move many tangential voices, to use her word, that would grab the stream of people's openness and divert them down wrong paths, serving the interest of the tangential voice. And fearsome as it sounded then and still, that God had raised me up to be a steering compass voice to bring God's people back to His Word again. I'm tempted periodically to join the bandwagon that makes God the servant of man and evaluates Christian truth in terms of what it does for me here and now, and measures Christianity by the blessings in the flesh and in time that I'm receiving here and now, material for the most part. But when I go to God's Word, I know who these 24 elders are. And they get before the throne where all power of the universe resides, and they are going to become custodians as they rule and reign throughout eternity of that power as further stewards of God reigning throughout eternity. I know who these 24 are. And the criteria of getting there includes a state of mind. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory. We want it. He's worth it. We're not worth it. He is. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor. We want it. Don't deserve it. He wants it. He deserves it. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive
power.
I used to conduct seminars with a man till I couldn't stand it anymore. Just left. Who was teaching people how to take advantage of their rights of power. He had a school for deliverers. We all want power. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive power, for Thou hast created all things, and there is not an exception. The Greek has a word that means every single and all things. That's the word here. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are. That's a Greek word that means exactly what it says. We all know there's a lot of Christianity based upon feeling good. I mean, at the very least, in this vale of tears, we ought to have a religion that makes us feel good. We ought to get blessed once in a while. That's my right. I mean, I learned that, as you've heard me illustrate more than once, from old Brother Kronk, who used to stomp in on the front seat and in a few minutes stomp out of the old C Street Church in Orville. Thank God in here, I don't feel anything. I've been in camp meetings. I remember Tom Zimmerman opened a South Georgia camp meeting in the Piney Wood Forest in a tent. With his stentorian voice, he only got a couple of verses into Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. And man, they started running. You could hear them thumping around in the darkness out there missing trees. Pretty soon one would come running through the tent. Right through the light for the altar area, kicking up the sawdust. You'd hear him thump, 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 thump as they ran around the trees. Ain't nothing you've seen I haven't seen. They made a believer out of me. I believe they had God or they'd have killed themselves. I heard thump, 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 but I never heard a guy hit a tree. Got any Church of God people listening? Cleveland, Tennessee? I used to preach for Paul Walker. It's now Mount Perrin Church in Augusta, Georgia. If not the largest, certainly one of the largest and strongest giant churches of the Church of God, Cleveland, Tennessee. Second largest Pentecostal denomination, second only to the Assemblies of God. I preach for Paul every year. In fact, that reminds me, I'm supposed to call him, and ever since I've been here, I've been going to bring Paul out on festival. Probably the only Pentecostal preacher ever selected as the preacher of the year at Emory University School of Theology. And a great man of God. But a preacher's son like me, son of the giant in the Church of God movement, that probably broke the back of those that would take it into perfectionist doctrine of absolute sanctification and save the life of the Church of God. I have a long history in Pentecostal churches, but no less than Paul used to tell me of a church in Fresno he used to preach at. Every time they began to worship God, they had a runner too. He had let out a caterwauling yell and start running down the aisle. Now, if I'd allowed, I can tell you, there are people that hunt every revival so they can run. How many know that? They want an audience to run in front of. Some of you strangers from Presbyterianism and other places, Paul was telling me he was preaching in his church, and he was thanking God that it finally happened. The runner took off, caterwauling and yelling, down the aisle. He was feeling good. And as he turned the corner right in front of the altar, somebody put a throw rug there. He hit the altar bench with his shoulder, and he limped back to his seat, having lost the spirit of movement entirely. I've seen some real ones, too. I remember sitting as a boy and watching R.T. Doherty's Dance in the Spirit in Oroville and wonder at almost the effortless ability to float around, never touch anybody. But I've also seen a lot of funny stuff. That guy lost his running spirit. And Paul Walker thought it was glorious. I'm quoting him. One of the power voices of the Church of God, Cleveland, Tennessee. He's one of the friends that's still glad to be my friend. Some of them have chickened out on the truth. There are people that think the very least you're entitled to is pleasure. Feeling good. I camped on that one a while. Thou art worthy, O Lord, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure. For Thy pleasure they are and were created. How many know that all things includes money? I mean, let me just check it out. How many know that all things includes money? Thou art worthy, O Lord, for Thou hast created money, and for Thy pleasure money is and was created. How many think that's a fair translation? Huh? That's the best you give me, Doc? Is all right? All things is okay. All right. That's money? Oh, okay. I'm glad we got that straight. For all things includes money. Therefore, Thou art worth it. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou hast created money. And for Thy pleasure, money is and was created. About music. Anything. Now, I camped on, I had no intention of preaching on this verse today. That's just a parenthetical crowd in on my time. I never have been a preacher trying to tell you I've made it. I wish you'd all get up where I am. I'm making it with you. My battles are a little different than yours. My responsibilities are different than some of you. But I got to take this compass out every week. And when I get into God's book, I don't have to wonder if I'm right. I know I'm right. God's people ought to give for this reason. Because the 24 elders that get there have a state of mind. They know where worship is.
They know who should receive glory, honor, and power. They know for whom all things are and were created. After the Lord takes the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne, verse 8, chapter 5, when he had taken the book, the four living ones that should be, Zoa, and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sung a new song, saying, this is the elders, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us. Who? The 24 elders, thou hast redeemed us to God by the blood, by thy life poured out. You paid the price to redeem us out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. I haven't got time today to do more than that with the elders. I just want to say, there's the church. There's the children of faith. There's the redeemed. There's the Abraham that Romans 4 said had his faith counted as righteousness. The price tag of allowance that let God credit his faith as righteousness. The blood of Jesus Christ, that as a mediator in the book of Hebrews, paid the price for every sin from day one to now to future. In those elders, King David, he's not going to be reincarnated on the earth and help him build the temple. King David, that the fourth chapter of the book of Romans says, because he lied, he committed adultery, he murdered. He fell short of the law. He never made it in under the Old Testament covenant, because the law said, if you keep it, you'll live in it. If you violate it, you'll die. The only reason David is going to be in heaven, not because he was king of Israel, not because he kept the law, but God placed David in Christ, and as Romans 4 says, credited David's faith to righteousness, and brings him in on the same basis the New Testament church comes in. Moses, the lawgiver, is there. Not because, like no other man, God would hide him in the cleft of the rock on Mount Sinai and let him catch a glimpse of the brightness of God's presence, until when he came to the mountain, his face shone and he didn't know it showed. Not because God allowed him talk with his son on the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses sinned. But God took his faith, as recorded in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and credited it to righteousness, because Jesus Christ lived the righteousness for us all, died for the sins of us all, and God placed the sins of Moses and David and Abram and all of them into Christ. That's why you're going to find 12 foundation stones in the city of the Lamb and 12 gates. 12 gates related to the 12
patriarch tribes, the 12 foundation stones, the apostles of the Lamb, you're going to find 24 elders to symbolize those that have been redeemed to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation.
This is the end of Side 1. For the rest of the message, please turn tape over to Side 2. Thank you.